Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, July 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, we welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday Hall of Famers Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough today. You know, they've written over 300 books on food-related items, and their newest one is A La Mode. You know, it's about ice cream. So today's show is all about ice cream. In fact, they'll probably write a book in the news, and then we'll talk about that as well. But they write all kinds of books. This new one is A La Mode. We talk ice cream on Food Friday today, 800-348-2551. Do you have an ice cream story to share? Or a favorite flavor? Whatever. Call us, 800-348-2551. Vox Pop Food Friday begins after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's the Food Friday edition, don't you know? Ice cream has been around for centuries, even as far back as the 2nd century BC. Historical figures like Alexander the Great were known to enjoy its precursor, flavored ice. Marco Polo, they tell me, brought a sherbet recipe to Italy that historians say evolved into ice cream in the 16th century. All these things I knew off the top of my head. And in America, the dessert treat dates back to the late 1700s. In the summer of 1790, I'll take you back there now, George Washington reportedly paid $200 for ice cream. Well, today it's a little less expensive, depending on where you go, but no less delicious. Our guests today, Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, are back. They have written over 24 cookbooks, and they're out with one on ice cream called A La Mode. It's much more than just ice cream, though, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, or tweet us at @WAMCVoxPop. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. 2551. Bruce and Mark, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Ray.
How are you?
So, I mean, I kidded about all the books you've written, but now this is 28?
Something like that.
28 books?
We're not counting.
So now, back at the house, you have a little back room where elves are constantly writing books, right?
Yeah, and elves named Bruce and Mark.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And so you guys do all this yourself.
We do.
Well, we don't do it all. We don't publish the books.
Right.
The publisher publishes them. And we hire photographers and we hire prop stylists for the photos. But we do all the food styling. We create the recipes. We develop them. We write them. We basically turn a book in that gets published.
In our partnership, this is Bruce. I'm the chef and Mark's the writer.
That's me.
So you test all the recipes or do you make them and then make Mark test them?
Well, no. He has to taste everything.
I have to taste them. And then we have testers, and then things go back through testing, and it's
so
all.
What do you mean testers?
We have
food
people,
testers.
Oh yeah,
yeah
we send
do
recipes
you pay them?
Out.
Depends on whether they're my mother or not.
Ah, that keeps the overhead down.
We
way
have
to go.
People all across the country. We send recipes to when we're writing books because it's important. And we don't just send one recipe. So like we'll send a whole chapter of a book to someone, and then we want to know which recipes they picked, why. And did it make sense to them when they went through it?
It's kind of a test marketing thing.
So why'd you pick that one? What was special about it? And it helps us know what recipes are working and why and whether they're clear.
That is all why it takes almost a week to write a cookbook.
almost a week to write a cookbook.
Almost a week.
I mean, I joke about how many books you've written, but the amount of work is insane. The presentation is well done and it's well laid out and well written.
Thank you.
But then you have to taste you have to make and taste all the recipes. Where do you find the time, man?
Well,
to
test them, that is my job.
But to make them.
Well, that's my job.
How many recipes? There's 120 recipes in 60 pairings in this book, A La Mode.
Yep. Sure.
So that's 3, 6, 8 months to do this book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. It's about 8 months of recipe testing. And testing and tasting and retesting. And then we have about a week and a half of a photo shoot. And then the publisher takes about a year then to put it together before the book is published.
This is a nice one. Popcorn, frozen custard.
And then and that goes on top of a peanut brittle tart.
So it's like the Cracker Jack fantasy.
Oh, man.
This book is all about the pairings of ice cream and desserts, hence A La Mode. Everything is what goes with it. So one of my favorite pairings in this book was a bacon maple walnut pie.
Perfect.
Bacon in a dessert.
Perfect.
With a malt frozen custard.
Wow.
So you fry up the bacon and you separate the rendered fat from the crisps.
Yeah.
The fat goes as part of the fat in the pie crust. So you got a bacon fat in the pie crust. Then you mix together your sugar and eggs and brown sugar and nuts for the filling and you put the crumbled bacon in that.
Then you bake it.
And then you bake it.
And then you make malt frozen custard to go on top of it.
It's an incredible combination.
This crazy diner, I don't know what it is. It's like breakfast, diner, dessert.
Now,
thing.
Is this a recipe that you picked up along the way or something you came up
no,
with?
No, that was something I came up with.
Pretty impressive.
I've always made this maple walnut pie. And then we were coming up with combinations for the book. And Mark said, why don't you put bacon in it? And let's see, find a way to make bacon work in that.
By the way, you can say that about anything, really. Just throw some bacon in it. Works out really well.
Usually it does. Yeah.
And the book isn't just ice cream. It's full of frozen treats. There's sherbets in it. There's gelatos. There's frozen custards. And there is a difference between ice cream, gelato, and frozen custards.
All right, let's explain that because I'm looking at a page here. Pine nut pound cake, which on the face of it, I don't know if I'd like that. But
you would.
Orange marmalade frozen custard.
Okay.
So give me the differences.
Okay, an ice cream is basically milk and a little cream with a few eggs.
Okay.
It's the standard American treat. Gelato, the Italian treat, is actually milk, whole milk, no cream, and a ton of eggs.
Mostly egg yolks.
Egg yolks, and there's no cream in it. Now, let me just stop and say there's one problem. In the United States, our whole milk fat production content, the amount of fat in whole milk, is lower than it is in Italy. So if we make gelato here in the States and we want to get that exact Italian feel, we have to add a little bit of cream, like a couple tablespoons, even up to a quarter cup.
Interesting.
To compensate. That's so anyway, but the classic gelato.
Wait, so even whole milk here is not
thinner,
as high?
It's not as rich.
3.2%. In the United States, it's about 3.2%. It can be up to 7% in Italy.
So who sets that ratio? Is there some governmental agency?
Course.
Really?
Of course.
No.
Of course. These are all the answers, of course. So anyway, so gelato is the whole milk with egg yolks, and then frozen custard, which kind of flashed across the United States in the 80s from places like Culver's and these big frozen custard chains, is cream and a ton of egg yolks.
Okay.
So it's like you take the old ice cream with cream, and you add all those gelato egg yolks, and you come out with frozen custard.
So you guys make ice cream. You actually do it. All right,
Now
you put all these egg yolks in.
Uh-huh.
Aren't you running afoul of regulators who say you can't have – do you cook the eggs?
Yes.
Yes, in all of the recipes in our books, cook the eggs. We are firm believers that for most people who live in cities or live in areas where they're not going to be able to get eggs from their neighbors or from their chickens in the backyard, you shouldn't be eating raw eggs.
Right.
So all of our recipes cook eggs. And we did it even back in 1999 when we published our very first book, which was an ice cream book. We made a decision back then that every egg in every one of our recipes would be cooked.
So how do you go about doing that and still maintain the ice cream?
How do you cook it and get it good?
In what way would you cook it and also be able to use it as you would in a standard ice cream recipe?
Because you're cooking the eggs in a custard. So the standard recipe, the basic technique for making an ice cream custard is that you're going to beat your eggs or egg yolks with sugar until it's thick and rich.
Yeah.
Then you heat up your milk or milk and cream mixture on the stove. Then you mix the hot milk mixture into that beaten egg sugar mixture. Then you put it all back on the stove and you cook it till it thickens and reaches
and
a certain
temperature. And this is where we get a little wonky in the book. We say that you have to use an instant read meat thermometer or a laser thermometer to know what your custard is doing. A lot of people do that, coat the back of a wooden spoon or this kind of it's done, yada, yada. Listen, that's nothing. What you need is to get between 168 and 170 Fahrenheit. And once you get to that point, the eggs are just at the cusp of scrambling at coagulation, but they'll be just under it, so you'll have the richest custard possible. Now, you have to make sure that if you're using an instant read meat thermometer, you've wiped the pork off of it or the beef off of it or
ice cream? Because, you know.
See, the thing with adding eggs to ice cream, Ray, is that not only does it make it more flavorful and richer, but it's richer to cook them than to use them raw. If you just put milk and eggs and sugar in a blender and blend it up with some eggs, your ice cream is going to be thin. The eggs, when you cook them, they get richer and richer and richer.
They're
like a custard.
A custard, a batter. It's not a batter because there's no flour in it, but right.
So that's what makes your ice cream super premium.
So one of these large ice cream manufacturers, how does what they do differ from doing it small batch the way you guys will do it?
Well, if you're talking about a premium ice cream that has eggs, they might be cooking them as a custard. Yeah. Or they can often. They have a way to buy pasteurized egg pieces, parts. They could buy pasteurized egg whites or pasteurized egg yolks and use those without cooking it. But the biggest difference between most home ice cream makers and professional is the density of the ice cream.
Yeah.
That is how much air is mixed in when you freeze it.
And there's a term for that,
it's
right?
It's called overrun.
Overrun. Exactly.
So if you put a quart of ice cream custard or mix into your machine and you come out with a half gallon, that's 100% overrun. It's going to be very, very airy ice
cream. You know, when you buy, let's say, less expensive ice cream, not premium ice cream,
sure,
just less expensive, you know.
Store in the square box.
Box kind of ice cream. And you know how when you let it melt, it sometimes gets foamy at the edges?
Yes.
That's because it has a huge overrun. Sometimes up near 200% overrun.
Okay, now you're eating air.
It's air.
In these days of regulation, there must be a limit on the overrun.
No, there is not.
Really?
That is not true. So there's no limit on the overrun, but these guys that now make the really premium stuff in the small pint containers, right, they're trying to get less and less overrun. And we, you know, they have to have some. I mean, they're trying to make a profit, but they
have
some.
Well, if you don't have enough, you just end up with a hard frozen lump. Right.
And we're trying to take ice cream down as far as we can get it in the overrun. You got to get air into it.
Right.
Otherwise, as Bruce says, it's going to freeze into an ice cube if you don't. But you got to get some air into it. But we want to get it as low as possible to get the absolute most ridiculous. Here's a culinary term for you, mouthfeel.
There you go. The mouthfeel. Our guests today, Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. Their latest book is A La Mode, 120 Recipes in 60 Pairings. We've talked about how they make it. Let's talk about their favorites and your favorites, too. 800-348-2551. Ice cream today on Food Friday. 800-348-2551.
Support for WMC comes from Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton. Providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb, additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages, suttermeats.com. Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly, breadandbutteramherst.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. New barn wedding venue and heated antique greenhouse. Offering tailored catering, garden to vase flowers, and four bed and breakfast rooms. GloriosaCO.com. Terrapin Restaurant, Rhinebeck, New York. Celebrating 13 years in Rhinebeck with refreshed menus and a farm-to-table meets barn-to-table dining room renovation by local artisans. TerrapinRestaurant.com. And Field Goods. Working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com.
Food Friday, Vox Pop. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 800-348-2551. Joined today by authors Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. And, you know, they're not just authors. They go on the home shopping networks and cause trouble. They go on the Today Show and cause trouble. And, I think the corn ice cream story is one that's very apropos today. So let's hear that story, Bruce.
Well, we were back when we started our career and our very first book came out, The Ultimate Ice Cream Book. We were actually invited to be on the Today Show to make some ice cream. And the book had fabulous, fabulous flavors. But the producer there asked us to make something very strange. He said, "We want you to come on and make corn ice cream."
Delicious.
You really want that, huh?
Yeah.
No, you know, it'll be fun. We'll actually tease to it a couple times.
Wasn't it from a can of creamed corn?
I think there was cream corn in it. Yeah.
Repellent.
And no, it's actually, I like cream
corn. Cream. All right. No, I just meant the idea of putting cream corn in an ice cream.
I'll come on, we'll promote the book and I'll make corn ice cream. And so we do this and we're making the whole thing. And the host that day was John Siegenthaler.
Yeah.
And I believe Campbell.
Not to name names.
I believe Campbell Brown was on too. So we're out in the outside area. I make the thing, we give it to him to taste it. And now remember, they invited me on and asked me to make that. He tastes it and he goes, "Oh, this is disgusting." And I'm like, Wow. Well, thanks so much. So anyway, Campbell Brown elbowed him in the ribs. He's like, what's that for? And then she handed him a cup of blackberry sorbet, which we had on the set. He's like, oh, that's delicious. I'm like, that was the answer you were supposed to say the first time.
I mean, you know, you ask for cream corn ice cream, you're going to get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for.
So that's not one that you guys have put in the book here a la mode, right?
No.
No, that one's not here.
So what ones did you try for this book? That I assume you tried a lot of different recipes. The ones that you just said, oh, God, no way. This is not making the cut.
Well, this book is about pairing. So it was trying to find an ice cream that goes with a baked dessert. And I was desperately trying to find something to pair lavender ice cream with. You know, infuse fresh lavender flowers into cream. And
lavender ice cream, it tastes like you're kissing your grandmother. So
and
lavender
that was
ice cream.
It.
You just need a doily and you're all set.
So
right?
No matter what we put it with, it just was like a really bad moment.
Yeah.
So
lavender's hard. It's a hard flavor.
We have actually had on, and I forget which of the premium ice cream people we have had on who have made lavender, and it was actually very good.
Nice.
But you got to like lavender.
And
though.
You have too. To use it very
you
sparingly.
You got to love your grandmother.
Yeah. Very sparingly.
And who doesn't?
Really, who doesn't?
And 800-348-2551. Hang in there if you're on the line. We'll get to you in a moment. You guys are big hardware guys. We've done shows on pressure cookers and slow cookers.
Yep.
Obviously, there are a lot of ice cream makers out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the one that you use?
Well, I will tell you that the kind I like the most are the kind that have the built-in compressors where you don't have to freeze your canister overnight, and you certainly don't have to use ice and rock salt. And I like the kind where you plug it in, you hit a button, and it churns and freezes all by itself. At the end of the time, you scrape your ice cream out and start again with the second batch right away.
So you don't need salt for that? No. I thought that was an integral part of the whole thing.
It's got a compressor.
That's old-fashioned. Yeah,
so
mine have compressors.
No matter what kind you have, if you have the kind with the insert that goes in the freezer, no matter what you have, the best way that you can freeze ice cream in the machine you have is to make sure you store the dasher and the lid in the freezer too, because the colder everything is, the less overrun, the less air that gets churned into the ice cream. So if the dasher is coming out of the freezer and the lid's coming out of there, just store them in
Do you know
this
that
summer.
The dasher is the word for that thing that goes around with the paddles that makes the ice cream?
The thing that spins.
That's called a dasher.
The
dancer, the prancer.
On dasher, exactly. Well, let's go on to the phones. 800-348-2551. And David in Woodstock. David, you're on.
Hi, I'm pulling over to the side of the road. Hang on one second.
All right, be
so
careful.
What I want to say is, okay, I'm over to the side of the road now.
Okay.
What I wanted to say is that I used to have an ice cream business in the city in the 80s. We sold ice cream out of a push cart in Rockefeller Center, and it was exactly the kind of ice cream that you were talking about. Real low overrun, very high butterfat content, all organic and natural flavors. And it was an immense hit with people. But, Ray, to answer your question about your favorite flavor, here's the only thing I can say about that. Which of your children is your favorite?
Oh, I can't say that on the air.
Yeah.
But you know everybody has an answer to that.
Yeah. No, you got a point.
Well, with that said, my favorite flavors were mango sorbet, blackberry, vanilla, and pistachio.
Have you tried the cream corn, David?
No, I didn't forget the cream corn. It's not my favorite.
Oh, delicious.
Well, I will say that mango sorbet mixed just with vanilla ice cream is an amazing combination.
Yeah, totally.
It is.
Yeah.
Hey, David, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Yeah, have a good weekend. Drive safely out there, and thanks for pulling over. Let's go to Marina in Orange County. Marina, you're on.
Hi. I love coconut milk ice cream, and Coconut Bliss is the best. So Delicious doesn't know what they're doing because it doesn't have any coconut flavor at all. But I'm wondering if you make that, and if what adjustments you have to make to using coconut milk.
It's funny, but Bruce just made a vegan coconut ice cream
the other night. The other night I was really in the mood for something coconutty, and so I mixed in the blender a can of coconut cream, which is richer than coconut milk, and the can will be labeled coconut cream. And I also found a can of sweetened condensed coconut milk, which I'd never seen before. I think I got that at Whole Foods.
Okay.
And I put those in the blender with a banana and some vanilla. And that was, that was it. I didn't put anything else. It was banana, vanilla, coconut cream, and sweetened condensed coconut milk. I threw that in the ice cream machine, and it was amazing.
But the consistency must be much different.
It's not as...
It's not as...
mouth-feely. It wasn't as coating of the tongue as real ice cream, but it was an amazing thing.
And it wasn't icy at all. Yeah. Those things often get icy,
yeah.
And it wasn't icy at all.
So the only trick is if you want to use coconut milk instead of milk or cream in any ice cream recipe, make sure you're using the richest. Don't use light coconut milk or reduced-fat coconut milk. You want to use at least half coconut cream if you can find it.
Marina, is that good for you?
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Well, I imagine that holds true. You don't want to put skim milk in your ice cream.
Not unless you get ice milk. Looking, you'll have ice milk.
You have ice milk, and right.
Yeah, which is going to be icy.
It's yeah. All right.
And the only way to get around that is to add much, much more sugar.
I mean,
because when you reduce fat, you got to up the sugar.
When I was a kid, my grandparents were frugal German farmers, let's just say.
Okay.
And we only had ice milk. That's all they ever had is ice milk because they were, again, frugal German farmers.
You know,
and it is an icy thing in life.
As I recall, as a youth in the 70s, that was very popular commercially. Do they even make ice milk anymore?
I don't think so.
Seal test ice milk.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it always got icy?
It was always icy.
Yeah, the only thing it was really good for was floats, as far as I was concerned.
Ah, Coke floats. I like the way you think. 800-348-2551 is the number. Rick in Massachusetts. Rick, you're on.
Hi. I just heard you talking about the ice milk, and I was wondering if they ever make recipes with Philadelphia-style ice cream, which my favorite.
What's Philadelphia-style ice cream?
Philadelphia-style ice cream is ice cream. It's not custard. There are no eggs in it. And there are a lot of Philadelphia-style recipes in our first book, The Ultimate Ice Cream Book. And here's something we learned testing recipes for that book, that even though we don't add eggs, we found that by heating the cream up and partially cooking it gives the ice cream a richer, denser, more flavorful flavor.
Basically,
and
melting the sugar via the hot cream rather than just letting the sugar dissolve.
Much better tasting and a richer ice cream. So we have plenty of Philadelphia-style ice creams in our first book, The Ultimate Ice Cream Book.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
So this fascinates me. The Philadelphia style, what does it taste like? What's it like? I've never had this.
It's lighter.
It's much lighter because there's no eggs. It's purer tasting because like the strawberry ice cream is basically cream, strawberries, sugar, and vanilla.
I think we found when we were making Philadelphia style strawberry ice cream, didn't we find that the best thing was cream, bottle of strawberry jam or preserves? Wasn't that it?
I think we did a version that used jam too because the fresh strawberries on their own were lost.
Not sweet
enough. All that cream.
Well, I have a thing. I love peach ice cream, but I have a thing about peach and strawberry ice cream, and that is the ice bombs that the fruit becomes. They become these ice bombs inside of it.
And they'll break your teeth. That. Yeah, absolutely.
So by using a jam, it blends in, and you actually get a softer, creamier consistency on the ice cream as well when you go to scoop it up.
So what's your favorite ice cream in the new book? Your favorite one.
I see
ginger snap ice cream here. That looks good.
There is. There's a delicious salt caramel ice cream that goes on a big old Texas chocolate sheet cake. So a one-layer cake with fudgy chocolate frosting, and it gets salt caramel ice cream to it. And that salt caramel ice cream, I tell you, in testing recipes, that it happened several times, but that's one of the ice creams that I just had to throw out. It couldn't sit in the house because I would just eat it down.
So the salt and the sweet, it's a recipe for a coma. It's good stuff.
For me, it's the cherry cheesecake ice cream.
Oh, that's great.
And we paired it on these bear claws, these almond-filled bear claws. But the cherry cheesecake, it has cream cheese in it as well as egg yolks and vanilla and lemon zest. And then you swirl in cherry jam. And it's just an amazing.
Do you have graham cracker crumbs in there?
You could.
You could put them in there
Why
if
not?
You like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I remember Baskin Robbins back in the day. Again, going back to the 70s.
What was your favorite flavor from them?
I remember they had strawberry cheesecake ice cream.
For me, it was their pink bubblegum ice cream. It was bubblegum flavored ice cream with little chips of bubblegum in it.
So you could choke.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's probably why they stopped making it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Heather in Olive Ridge. Heather, you're on.
Hi, I just want to tell you that the pink bubblegum ice cream all the way, that was always my favorite.
Really? Oh boy.
Yay, I'm vindicated. Thank you, Heather.
Totally, I loved it. And of course, I'm sure I made a mess with it, but my parents didn't mind.
Because there's nothing like gum and ice, because the gum gets really hard and you can't even chew it.
That sounds absolutely appalling.
Yeah, so you spit it out, and then you save it, and then you put it all in your mouth as one big
wad. Okay, well, thank
you. An 8-year-old.
Thank you for that.
Is that too much information, Ray?
Yeah, sure.
That's
absolutely.
The way I ate it.
But anyway, that's the way the show's going. What else you got?
I had two questions. One was, Ray, you had asked about what their favorite ice cream maker was, and you told us what kind, but you didn't get specific with brands.
Oh, all right.
I don't know if you
Ray,
you
am
that,
I allowed
I
to
it.
Say brands?
Yeah, I mean, if yeah, if it's your favorite, you, are you being paid by them?
No.
All right, then you can say it.
I have the Cuisinart one that you plug in with the built-in compressor. I don't know the model number. I have two of them. And I love them.
They're really fast and they're really efficient.
How much ice cream can you make in one
shot?
You can
make about a quart and a half in about 35 minutes.
Well, that's not enough.
Yeah, but I have two of them going
oh,
at once.
Okay.
Right. I think I need three of them.
Hey, tomorrow at our class, we're going to have eight machines going at once.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, where's the class?
The class is in Hillsdale, the Hillsdale General Store.
All right.
And we're doing an ice cream class from 2:30 to 4:30.
Well, Heather, that's a bit of a hike from Olive Ridge, but you know, maybe you go over there.
It's worth the drive, but I'm working, so I'm just going to have to go buy three of my own.
nice.
Well, Heather, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling.
Oh, wait, can I ask one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you said that your recipes all cook the eggs because you don't think, you know, you don't want to depend on people having access to farm fresh eggs. But out here in the hinterlands of Olive Bridge, I have access to very, very, very fresh eggs. Is there a benefit to using raw eggs?
Yes, there's no benefit to using them. There's a benefit, to cooking them. Because as Bruce said, by cooking them, we actually get the protein chains elongated to form a thicker custard. And we can actually get a better mouthfeel by cooking the eggs. That said, since you have good access to eggs, and we too, we live very remotely and have access to great eggs, I'm not troubled by it. I just know that in this case of ice creams, we can actually get better feel.
There you go.
Ice cream.
Thank you.
Hey, Heather, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling.
You too. Thank you.
800-348-2551 on this Vox Pop Food Friday. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. All right, so the class is tomorrow,
yep.
And it's in Hillsdale.
Hillsdale, New York, at the Hillsdale General Store. They have two buildings, and one of them is their cooking school.
Yeah, and I think we've talked to them in the past
on
this program.
Yeah, Matt White owns the place.
Yeah,
and he's
exactly.
A great guy.
So this is pretty cool. So how long does the course take?
It's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And we are going to make four ice creams from the book. We're going to be doing a semifreddo, which
we
is
haven't talked about yet.
Which we could talk about, and a frozen Bavarian
Godfather
cream.
Reference.
Yeah.
And I believe we're doing a lemon ice cream and
and the cream corn.
And no, but we are making the malt ice cream in that bacon maple walnut pie.
Oh,
so you
fantastic.
Get to taste that if you come.
So this is pretty good, and it's 2 hours. And are you guys tough taskmasters when you do the course?
Actually, we're doing all the cooking.
Oh, really? What do you do? Just go make comments.
People just
you can watch, and we may have some people helping. Mostly, you watch us. And you eat it.
Well, nothing wrong with that. all right, and where can you find out more about that?
That you can go to the HGS Home Chef website.
Yep.
Or our website, bruceandmark.com.
And that's going well. And you guys have a podcast too.
We
right?
do twice
oh,
a week.
We do.
Tuesdays we debunk culinary myths.
Oh, next time you're on the show, we'll do that.
And Fridays we cook through recipes. And all summer we have Frozen Fridays where we talk about ice creams.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a little podcast here.
I know, we've been on it.
We call it Leftovers. No, what do we call it?
I don't know.
I think it's Leftovers because we've been
scraps.
On it.
Leftovers. It's Food Friday Leftovers. Yeah. And you guys will be on that too. So a little competition. A little cross-pollination.
This is called cross-promotion.
All right, cross-promotion or pollination.
I like competition.
It's been a long week. All right, let's go to Jane in Albany. Jane, you're on.
Hi. I'm really enjoying your talk about ice cream, and I love ice cream, but what I want to say has to do with lavender, because you said, you know, they have lavender ice cream.
Yes.
Did you know that the lavender plant or the smell of lavender will keep mosquitoes away? I thought that might be good for everybody to know in this day of the Zika virus, et cetera.
Perfect. So if you carry a lavender ice cream cone with you,
wherever you go,
you'll be safe.
That's right,
so
you
if
go.
You drip it on you, don't wash up.
I like it.
Well, for women could wear, a lavender cologne.
Well, yeah. Men can, too.
Why not?
In the summertime. I don't know what the men are going to do.
Lavender
but
cologne.
But in a lavender plant, the mosquitoes won't come near lavender plants, either.
Wow. So make your make your clothing out of lavender plants.
There you go.
You see
there
the you things. Jane, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Appreciate the call. You see, we have people who are always helpful here.
And they're looking out for us.
800-348-2551. Richard in Northampton. Richard, you're on.
I made a lavender cream with lavender flowers and served it in frozen chocolate cups. little bittersweet cups.
Wow.
And it was absolutely delicious. And two of the people at the table agreed it tasted just like shaving cream.
Very good.
And so it was so pretty.
Beautiful. And the little chocolate cups were beautiful. Did you do the chocolate cups by dipping balloons in them?
No, I bought them.
You bought them. Ray is saying to me, what? Ray, you blow up a little balloon, a round balloon, a small one, and you dip the bottom of it in melted chocolate, and then you set it on a tray and put it in the refrigerator. Then when the chocolate is set, you pop the balloon and peel it out, and you have a chocolate cup.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you see the things you learn. Thank you, Richard. We appreciate it. Okay, now I'm at the page of A La Mode that has the chocolate sheet cake with the fudgy icing and the salt caramel frozen custard.
Salt, and you see how melty that salt caramel, the picture that, it's all melty. And part of that is because there's so much salt in the caramel that the ice cream doesn't stay as hard frozen.
I'm telling you.
So it's so great. It's such a great texture.
I couldn't even, that ice cream when we made it, I couldn't even throw it in the trash can. I had to put it underwater because I would dig it out of the trash can and go back
okay,
to it.
Okay, listen, you know, you guys, nothing's stopping you from bringing this sort of thing to the show. Just saying. That looks really good. 800-348-2551. I don't know. We have a minute before the next break. So why don't you guys say something for a minute, and then we don't have to take a call. We'll do it after the break.
I think we should talk about semifreddo. Why don't you talk about
semifreddo? Okay, so semifreddo is an Italian dessert. The words semifreddo means partially frozen.
Okay.
It's an ice cream-style dessert that's formed in a loaf. So you basically make three components, whipped cream, a meringue, and a zabaglione, which is an egg yolk mixture.
Yeah.
You fold all of those together, put them in a loaf pan, freeze it, turn it out, and slice it. And it's kind of marshmallowy and ice creamy. So
sounds great.
It's great. So tomorrow at the class, we're doing a chocolate semifreddo and a Bavarian cream.
So are you doing that the same way, or is that just
in the
machine? You don't do that
in
the machine.
No, that's a whole separate technique.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
This is great. I've learned a lot here. It's Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. Their book is A La Mode, one of 28 or 29 books they've written, and there are more coming up. There'll probably be two more by the end of the show. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now in their summer season, featuring local producer-only foods and handmade products every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., moving to Riverfront Park on July 23rd, troymarket.org. The Black Sheep Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons. SpiritHAUS.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorns Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted, dairy, and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com.
...800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. Ray Graff here. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are the guests. They wrote a book called A La Mode, 120 recipes in 60 pairings. It's all about pies and tarts and gelato and ice cream. Let's go back to the phones. And Ken in Rosendale. Ken, you're on.
Okay, I'm right here. My question is, what is the difference between ice cream and gelato? And why is it that you can find premium ice creams everywhere, but it's really very difficult to find, like, packaged, you know, gelato?
Well, the answer to that is, the first part is very easy. Ice cream is made with cream and milk. It can have eggs or not have eggs. Gelato is traditionally made only with milk, with whole milk, and lots of egg yolks. And in Italy, as we said earlier, the whole milk is richer than it is here. So when we put gelato recipes in our books, we add a touch of cream to the milk to bring the milk fat content up. Why is it hard to find gelato?
That's easy.
I think let Mark answer that. He thinks that's easy.
Oh, no, it's easy. It's cost. Gelato is expensive because it takes a lot of egg yolks. It's expensive to make. And I think you have a lot of people who shy away, manufacturers who shy away from true gelato, just for the cost.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
But there are some good gelatos in the supermarket.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. I'm sure there are some good ones.
Yeah. Oh,
there's got to be a profit moat. I mean,
of course.
If it costs you more to make, you
charge
the price
more.
Up.
Well, sure. We've seen gelatos in the supermarket that'll cost $7-$8 a pint.
Right. That better be pretty good for that.
We better clean my car.
Well, let's go to Steve on the Northway. Steve, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just wanted to mention something I became kind of really addicted to last summer. I love coffee. I love chocolate. And I love beer. And I found that I like to have a milk stout, which is a stout made with lactose sugar in it. And a lot of them have coffee added as a flavor. And drink that in a large mug with a couple of scoops of double chocolate ice cream.
Whoa.
Kind of just stirred in lightly.
Wow, so that's not bad.
He's making a stout float.
Oh, that's
pretty amazing.
A milk stout float.
We love your idea,
yeah, that's
Steve.
A great
I think
idea.
We're going home and making
that'll
them.
That'll be in the next book, Steve.
Oh.
Hey man, I got to tell you something. Your signal sounds like you're flying the Apollo 13. So, ask another question, and then we'll let you listen off the radio. Okay.
Okay, great. No, I just wanted to mention that, and a couple of really good milk stouts to do that with. I have no financial interest in these companies. Is the Keegan milk stouts or a Lancaster milk stout?
Okay, well, I think that's a great idea. So you guys do that the next time, right?
I'm going to do that tonight when we get home.
That sounds crazy.
Now, did I hear correctly in the green room that you once stole a drink from Barbara Walters?
Barbara had seen us on the Today Show doing peanut butter,
yeah,
where Mark insulted Campbell Brown.
Are you going to tell this?
And so I'm going to tell part of it. She invited us onto The View to make peanut butter. And we made peanut butter, and we made 8 recipes.
No, go ahead. I'm waiting for you.
Last recipe we did was a peanut butter cocktail, peanut butter and ice cream cocktail.
Okay, what's in it?
It was ice cream and peanut butter and vodka and brandy and vanilla.
Shove it in a blender.
Yeah, and that I poured them out, but there wasn't enough for everybody. So when Barbara went to grab hers, what did you do, Mark?
I took it out of her hand because I didn't think the dead needed to drink. So come on.
Oh, my God. I am so sorry I asked. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Sarah in Beckett, Mass. Sarah, you're on.
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am interested in making a vegan ice cream. Also, I would like not to use sugar. What if I use maple syrup as a sweetener? Or possibly coconut sugar. What would your opinion be about those two sweeteners?
I think that coconut sugar and maple syrup or maple sugar are brilliant ideas, and they would both make great sweeteners for an ice cream, as long as you're staying away from the artificial sweeteners, even stevia, which is not artificial, but it doesn't give you the body or the mouthfeel of real sugar. So maple syrup will do that, and coconut sugar will do that. Coconut milk is a great substitute if you're looking for vegan. You can also make your own cashew milk, which is a fantastic addition to ice cream to give it a nice mouthfeel.
What I have heard about cashew milk, I'm planning to make my own almond milk. What I have heard about cashews from a raw food teacher is that they're filled with microbes because of the way they're stored, you know. So she has been altering all her recipes to other nuts.
Well, if I was using cashews, I would probably heat them up, and I would actually blanch them. I think that raw cashews, from my taste, don't give me exactly what I'm looking for. So I would blanch them and then puree them in some of that water and then strain them out.
Okay.
But otherwise, you can also use coconut milk. That's a good thing to use.
There isn't a commercial coconut milk that I would use. Everything has an additive.
Oh.
I'm a real purist when it comes to my
food. So you have to milk your own coconuts?
You have to milk your own coconuts.
Oh, coconut. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
I'm going to milk my own almonds.
Excellent.
Or milk my own cashews, heating them up first. But you're saying not to use the liquid. So, but you do need liquid to make the ice cream at some point.
Well, yeah, I would use some of the liquid that I blanched them in, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Thank you for your help.
Sarah, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Bonnie in Ballston Spa. Bonnie, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I used to work at a coffee shop in Oregon, and we made a dynamite milkshake, two different kinds, with shots of espresso in them, and they were, like, unbelievable. One was a Mexican chocolate, and it had, like, cinnamon and nutmeg, and it was amazing with vanilla ice cream as the base. And I always thought it would be good to do instead of a root beer float, do like a iced coffee float. I just thought that would be awesome. But my question is, do you have any suggestions or what are some really interesting, more international flavors that we don't really like in the U.S. but are really popular abroad?
Gosh, taro ice cream is really popular, right?
Yes, in Asia.
Especially in Asia and in Japan. It's got a purple tint to it. It's very thick and very rich from the taro root.
Also, lychee ice cream is another big
one. Lychee is a big one. I have seen durian ice cream. I know that will never sell in the United States.
Why?
Because,
you know about durian, right?
Durian smells like you left your trash in the bag for a week.
Oh, delicious.
And then drank the liquid at the bottom.
It is illegal in many Southeast Asian countries to carry durian in public transportation.
Yeah. You can't, in Singapore, you can't even carry one
on
a bus.
It's a fruit, and you are not allowed to bring it on the bus.
So liverwurst is another one, right? That's a good
but
ice cream.
But I've seen durian ice cream out there.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you, Bonnie. We appreciate the call. Over to Jillian in West Stockbridge. Jillian.
Hey there. I love ice cream. I'm so psyched about this show. And I have two questions. One, I think frozen yogurt is usually pretty icky, and I always notice that it's very low fat or fat-free. Why don't they make full-fat frozen yogurt? I mean, I've never seen it.
Mm.
And second question is, this is similar to the question before about beer. I've seen also beer-infused ice cream, so like porters that are made in with an actual ice cream instead of a float.
Sure.
Just curious what you guys have to say about
that. That's got
to
be tough to do. You have to remove the alcohol to make it?
Well, the alcohol's good. You want to keep the alcohol in it. Yeah. I mean, because alcohol will lower the freezing point, so the little bit of alcohol that's in there will actually make it a creamier ice cream because it won't freeze as hard. But the first question you have was about frozen yogurts, and it's true. There tends to be this idea that people think frozen yogurt's healthy, so manufacturers tend to make them lower fat. Make it yourself, and it's really easy. We have some recipes in this book and in our first book, and basically you take some nice full-fat yogurt and you whisk heavy cream into it to get it even fatter. There's no reason, just because you're using yogurt doesn't mean you can't add cream to it. And then you have an ice cream base that's yogurty tasting that is delicious.
You can just mix full fat yogurt or even strained yogurt.
Yeah, Greek yogurt.
Like Greek yogurt or Icelandic yogurt, and then add cream to it and then add a jam to it, apricot jam or strawberry jam.
Three
ingredients. Whisk those together or blend them in your blender and put it in your ice cream.
Oh, that'll be heaven.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks for the call.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Jillian. Over to Robin in Glens Falls. Robin, you're on.
Hi. The durian fruit's interesting. I think it was described in the Encyclopedia of Organic Gardening as vanilla custard put through a sewer pipe.
Oh, excellent.
Into a private space on a railroad train.
Nice.
That's not what I called about. I turned my car on, heard you guys talk about lavender ice cream, and I also have a Cuisinart. They are where it's at.
Yeah.
And the lavender ice cream recipe is in Rosalind Creasy's Edible Flower Book.
Okay.
And she said that people there were reduced to bickering about who was getting more when they at a party. And so I tried it, and it's really, really good. It has crystallized ginger in it.
Oh, that's a really nice touch.
I'll let you go.
Yeah, that's a really nice touch. I'm just going to repeat my one tip. If you're going to make lavender ice cream, go light on the lavender, because a little too much and you can't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
800-348-2551. Our guests today, Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. Their latest is A La Mode, 120 recipes in 60 pairings. And what are you guys working on now?
We have a book coming out in October.
Yeah, end of October.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, end of October.
And it is called The Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution.
and it is how to make cream pies and ice cream and lemon meringue pie and all of that in those turbo blenders like the Vitamix and the BlendTec without ever turning on your stove.
Okay.
Without
you guys are all about the
gadgets.
You're like
bowl.
The James Bonds of cooking. You know, it's
I
all about the
gadgets.
All right. Well, we'll be looking for that one. Let's go back to the phones now and over on line 7. It's Dee in Castleton. Dee, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm lactose intolerant, and I'm wondering what you lovely people have for my problem. Although it sort of goes along with what the lady who was talking about vegan.
Well, I do say I'm sorry that because that makes your life a little more difficult when you really want to get into some good frozen desserts.
But yes. I can say that in the book there is a really fine chocolate peanut butter sorbet that is dairy free, and it's paired with these big sugar cookies to make ice cream sandwiches, and it's pretty fine.
Oh, I saw that picture.
It's a kind of dairy free dessert.
That was the first recipe I created, and we tested for this book.
That's it, right there.
That's it.
That's a real good picture. It's on page 116 if you're looking. If you're looking in your right. A la mode book. Thanks, Dee.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Okay, who's been waiting longest here? Let's go on over to another Robin. This is in Great Barrington. Robin, you're on.
Hi, yes, it's Robin from Great Barrington. We have Robin's Candy, and we just went into the soft serve business with our frozen yogurt and our frozen ice cream.
Oh.
And I was fascinated listening to some of your customers' comments, and I just wanted to add, one of your customers was asking about international flavors, and we have found that our Lebanese halva has been incredibly popular.
Wait, it's a halva-flavored ice cream?
It's a halva-flavored ice cream.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
What's halva?
Halva is a sesame candy.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a
crumbly sesame paste candy.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Exactly. I love halva.
The other one that does very well for us is lokum, which is Turkish delight. Flavored Turkish delight.
Yeah. Okay, so now I want to make some halva ice cream and serve it on top of baklava.
Oh.
Sounds like a fabulous company.
Hey, Robin, but you're making soft serve?
We are. We just went into the soft serve business this week. So
wait, you have soft serve?
Said, oh, you've got to call in.
And you have soft serve halva ice cream?
We have a very unique process that lets us custom whip each cup individually with over 100 different flavors.
That's so cool.
Wow, cool.
Well, that's great, Robin. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure. So come on in, try it. We're offering free samples all week, and we really are specializing in the more unusual ones. We're doing a fig, we're doing a Berkshire Blue, we're doing, as I mentioned, the halva, and we're also doing some other unusual ones like saffron.
Oh,
cool. That's great flavor.
Orange blossom, a pomegranate. I agree with you that the durian might not do so well.
Oh, go for it, Robin. Thank you very much, and we appreciate it. Good luck with the endeavor. Let's go to Al in Amherst. Al, you're on.
Well, just wanted to talk a little bit about sorbet and pairing with sorbet.
All right.
I used to have an ice cream store up in Greenfield, and what we did for people who were lactose intolerant is we'd make, we would blend lemon sorbet or orange, actually it was orange sorbet with hemp milk and a little vanilla syrup, and it would taste just like a creamsicle.
Wow, that sounds delicious.
And then the other thing is I also would take my little mobile ice cream unit down to the beer festival nearby, and we would make floats with, again, using a dark stout type of thing, and we'd use the malted vanilla, as somebody mentioned before, but the malted malted vanilla in a milk stout is great. But the other thing that's really good is you can make something that's very akin to what the Germans call a bicycle rider, which is or a shandy, which is if you use a lemon sorbet in a light lager.
Interesting.
Very refreshing summer
interesting.
Drink.
Sounds delicious. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. This one came in via email from Burger. Instead of using strawberry jam, try roasting the strawberries sometime.
Oh,
less water equals fewer icy fruit bombs.
Yeah.
And then Burger gives us the whole instructions in case you guys need it.
Because that will give you a more intensified strawberry flavor, but it won't give you the sugar that you gain in the jam, so then you can control the amount of sugar. That's a lovely way to do that. Thank you.
All right, fair enough. Let's see. We only have about 1 minute, but let's try. I think Joanna has been waiting a long time. Joanna, you'll get the last word today, about 30 seconds, okay?
Okay, I went to a little restaurant, and they had freshly ground black pepper vanilla ice cream next to a lemon custard tart.
Perfect.
Wow. Oh, that's a great
perfect
combo.
Combination.
Now, is that a common kind of you guys make that ice
lemon
cream?
Lemon and black pepper is a great combination.
Oh, yes. Wow, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah, the only thing I might even add to that is a little drizzle of balsamic.
Really?
Yeah,
on ice cream?
Black pepper and balsamic.
Why
not? Nice.
Why not? Why stand on ceremony?
You can't put it'll dissolve the ice cream, won't it?
No.
It might.
We're not talking copper wiring.
This is great.
We're not talking about Drano either.
You know, I don't know why we have you guys are such trouble every time we're on the show. All right, so the new book is A La Mode, 120 recipes in 60 pairings. What's the website?
It is bruceandmark.com.
Bruceandmark.com, and the podcast out on Tuesday.
With Bruce and Mark.
And the class is tomorrow?
The class is tomorrow at the Hillsdale General Store.
How do you find time to write the books with all the classes and everything else?
Sleep is overrated.
Right. Well, listen, you're going to be on our podcast, and yes. I think the folks over at Food Friday Leftovers, right? They're standing in Studio D, and you're going to go over there and talk to them.
Okay.
And you can find out more about that at WAMC.org. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, great guests as always. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Hudson Farmers Market, 6th and Columbia Street, Hudson, providing products and seasonal produce for more than 30 growers and producers, Saturdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. through November, HudsonFarmerMarketNY.com. Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting Canal Fest, explores Schenectady County, featuring music, bicycle tours, crafts, games, ice cream for kids, and more, July 16th, 10 to 3, SchenectadyHistorical.org, and The Chef's Shop in Great Barrington, celebrating 25 years, offering tools and services for cooking enthusiasts, including Zwilling knives, La Crusa cookware, cooking classes, and knife sharpening, thechefshop.com. All right, that's it for the show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks to Bruce and Mark for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell, our producer, Jessica Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. We'll see you on Monday.